Morning, everyone. Welcome to God's house today. Today is the start of a new year, and what I mean by that is the start of a new church year. The Lord allows God's people today, then, if you will, a restart. Today we get to go back to the Word. We get to say to the Lord, start all over again. Start from the top. Take us all the way through from promise to fulfillment to now what it means for the church. Everything concerning Christ. We want to hear it again. Let's restart and make sure, again, this is the Savior for us. And we start today with the Advent gathering rite that's listed in your worship folder. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord
strong and mighty, the Lord mighty and ever. Jesus, our church, with lofty eyes, for your expected coming reigns.
The day is coming. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. But for you who revere my name, then you will trample down the wicked. Mountain of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place? But it is written, all have turned away, they have together become worthless. Therefore, let us confess our sins. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Therefore, in the name of Christ Jesus, I forgive you all of your sins. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, Judge and King, the whole creation waits for your coming. Come, Lord Jesus, with your grace and fill our lives with your presence. Use all of our time for your gracious purpose. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This time I invite the baptismal party forward. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave his church the command to baptize when he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Scripture makes plain the need for baptism. As children of Adam, we belong to a fallen race. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. He willingly took on himself the curse of our sin and by his death on the cross redeemed us and all people. It's Christ's almighty word that gives baptism its power to save. The Apostle Peter declares, "Baptism now saves you." Scripture also clearly teaches that the power and promise of baptism is intended for young and old alike. On the day of Pentecost, the Apostle testified, "The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. By water and the Spirit, we are born again and united with Christ and his people as members of the church." So in coming to be baptized, you are doing what is God-pleasing. Ananias said to the Apostle Paul after his conversion, "Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away." Through your baptism, God gives you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And so receive the sign of the cross over your head and heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Some questions. Do you desire to be baptized into Christ and into this Christian faith? If so, yes. Do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises? If so, answer yes. Roxy, step forward. Rosa May Coward, whom we all call Roxy, may head forward. I baptize you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is for you. And if you need, this is for you too. And Melody, Alicia May Copper. You can tip your head for her. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven you all of your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you both to live in this baptismal grace all the days of your life, and God's peace be with you. And now to sponsors and to congregation and to Mom. You have been baptized into the name of the triune God. It's your privilege and responsibility to remember these people in your prayers to remind them of their baptism, and as far as possible, to give your counsel and aid that they are brought up in the knowledge of the true God. If you intend gladly and willingly to do this, then answer yes, and we ask God to help us. Yes, and we ask God to help us, and we pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of baptism by which you wash away sin and give us a new and eternal life. Help us each day to remember that through baptism you clothe us with Christ, that we stand holy and righteous before you. Look now with favor on Roxy and Melody, that they are kept safe by the gift of your Spirit, that they grow daily in your grace, and that they live forever by the power of the risen Christ. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to all the baptized, so that all may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, congratulations, both of you. There are so many stories that we could share. Roxy's taking the Bible information class right now, and we went through the baptismal section, and she just has desired and longed to be baptized for the longest time, but especially after that. And Melody is in our fourth grade here at school. It happens to have my wife as a teacher, and so my wife has been teaching her about baptism as well. But just so grateful that the Lord brought this day about. Congratulations and welcome to God's family and this family too. You may return to your seats. We'll give her a round of applause. First lesson we have today is from Genesis chapter 6, and in line with the theme that we had from the beginning of the service, a restart. God did a restart in the past, and there were only a very few who were prepared for his judgment and ready for what God was to usher in. God washed that world clean back then, and we pray that he, through the word, continues to help us reset and restart in his grace, as he did Noah and his family. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark out of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. I am going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. This is the word of our Lord. Continue with our psalm for the day, Psalm 24. We sing it together.
Thank you.
Second lesson this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 3, another reset, just like what we had for Roxy and Melody in baptism. Our lesson spells out today, baptism is the great reset, the restart, the rebirth, to bring somebody to God. We read, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. After being made alive, he went and made a proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Alleluia. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Alleluia." Please stand. Gospel according to Mark chapter 13. Here Jesus emphasizes from a different perspective the scripture. Keep watch. So baptism gives a restart. What keeps you now in that baptismal grace is standing firm in the word of God, which also blessed Noah and those eight to be ready for the flood. The word of God blesses us to be ready for Christ's coming. We read, "But about that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 2.
Savior of the nations, come, virgin son. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. Back on August 28th, 2018, tornado sirens were going off between Fond du Lac County and Sheboygan County. Tornadoes were touching down. I remember that day I was at an appointment at the Aurora Clinic in Sheboygan, and they directed us all into a hallway according to their severe weather tornado plan. The different people in the hallway were calling and texting their loved ones. When they woke up that morning, they weren't expecting that. They didn't know how many tornadoes there would be, how great the damage would be, how many lives might be lost, or if we would even survive. Perhaps you remember where you were that day. 19 tornadoes touched down around here. Thankfully, none of them too severe. But it can be terrifying going through severe weather. It can come up so unexpectedly. Jesus tells us that when he comes again, there will be global severe weather everywhere, disaster and destruction all around. He says that it'll be much like the days of Noah, the days leading up to when the flood happened. It'll come suddenly. And so today, Jesus institutes for us, from now until he comes again, a severe weather watch. First, we'll look at the cloud cover, then a ray, a beam of sunlight poking through the clouds, and then preparations to be made for when that severe weather strikes. In Genesis chapter 6, we have a little bit of a setting of that from Genesis chapter 5. If one reads through the genealogies of Genesis chapter 5, in the plainest sense, there's probably a little bit over 1,500 years from the time that Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden till those days of Noah. And in that time, people covered the face of the earth. Sons and daughters were born to people. And so that some have estimated there were billions of people living at the time of Noah. Moses in Genesis 6 records that the sons of God, that is believers, looked at the daughters of men, that is unbelievers, and saw that they were beautiful. People married whomever they chose back then based upon their outward beauty. That was kind of the habit, the pattern that people were falling into. Now, when God designed marriage, he wanted that to be a place where trust in him, the Lord, would be cradled and cultivated. Here we see how the descendants of Seth, Adam's believing descendant, they got distracted, and they put outward beauty ahead of a reverence and purity filled with faith that God wants for people within marriage. They got distracted, and they looked for other things. They prioritized outward beauty more than faith. Now, God's Spirit had been at work from generation to generation, passing the promise of the serpent crusher down. But as people got distracted and disinterested and no longer prioritized faith in God's promise and faith in the Lord, God said his Spirit would not contend with man forever, but his days would be 120 years. God was going to give them a time of grace, but their days were numbered. He would send destruction on the earth. But during that time, the clouds started to gather even more. The clouds were swirling and getting thicker and blacker. A cloud covering is one of the strongest signs of severe weather approaching. When you see clouds gathering in the distance, you think, well, maybe a storm's coming our way. But when there's a thick black canopy of clouds above you and all around as far as the eye can see, you know it's only a matter of time until that severe weather strikes. Watch out. But over the course of that 120 years, things just got worse and worse. God says that human beings, every inclination of the human heart was only evil all the time. He also talks about how humans were corrupt and the earth was filled with violence. Well, when people were not prioritizing the Lord and putting their trust in Him, when they turn away from the Lord, they'll tend to turn on each other too. Violence, oppression, robbery, murder. And even if people were building cities and working on farms, even though there was music and dancing, even though there was metalworking and craftsmanship at that time, none of that was done to the glory of the Lord, only to glorify humans, human nature at that time. People were corrupt. Even if on the outside there wasn't a whole lot of ruin, God hadn't sent the destruction of the flood yet, there was moral ruin and spiritual disaster all over. The clouds were forming. If God would not intervene, there would eventually be no one watching the weather and watching for God's promise to be fulfilled. Isn't that how the forecast looks in our generation too? The clouds swirling above, things getting darker and darker. Every inclination of the human heart, only evil all the time. That's the world that we live in. That's the world that we were born into. TV series that glorify the search for a happily ever after proposal as couples compete and try each other out ahead of time and then give up on each other a couple years after. Corruption in business, corruption in politics, corruption in religious institutions, even donations to worthy causes done just to make yourself look better around others or yourself feel better on the inside. Corruption abounds, violence where people aren't getting their way or where people want more power over others. But this cloud gathering, this cloud canopy, is not just in the world around us. It covers you and me too. We were born with every inclination of our heart only evil all the time. And we see how that is played out in our families and in our lives. The violence we do to each other with our words in our families as we tear each other down. Brothers and sisters push and shove and holler and bite. As we look for more of the happiness we can get out of a relationship than what God-pleasing we can put into a relationship. The corrupt ways that we squander our money and waste our time. The ways that we've made academics and athletics and the outdoors seem more attractive to our kids or our families than faith formation. God is grieved. He's greatly troubled. His spirit will not contend with mankind or with us forever. He has set a day, and that destruction on the world is coming. This is a severe weather watch. Watch the cloud cover. Watch out. But also watch for this ray of sunlight poking through the clouds. Moses contrasts the corruption that filled the world at that time with the favor Noah found with God. Now, this favor was not because Noah was any better in and of himself than others. This was God's grace. Noah was born in the same fallen image of all of Adam and Eve's other descendants. But Noah knew that promise, the promise to send the serpent crusher, that the offspring of the woman, God would undo the death brought into the world at the fall. Noah heard that promise. He listened and he trusted in that promise. And so Noah found favor with the Lord in the same way that Abraham did. Noah believed the Lord, and the Lord credited that to him as righteousness. Moses also says here that Noah was blameless among the people of that generation. Again, that does not mean that Noah never sinned. Genesis 9 records one of Noah's sins that shows he clearly needed a Savior. But that word blameless in Genesis 6 has to do with righteous complete. That is, in general, by the Spirit's power, Noah lived out the righteousness that God had given to him by faith. Noah followed the Lord in his life. And so in contrast to the people of Noah's generation, Noah did not just marry for looks or for some love feeling. Noah married with faith in God in mind. This person is going to keep me close to the Lord. We're going to grow in faith together. We're going to raise godly children in a godless world. And that's just what they did with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Noah's priorities were godly. Noah, as he lived blameless in his generation, he sought to live at peace with others in a world filled with violence. And the same Lord who had given Noah righteousness and favor by faith made a covenant with Noah that he was going to save Noah and spare Noah and shelter Noah and his family, along with some of the animals, each of the species at that time, in the ark for the severe weather that was to come. God would provide shelter for them so that through Noah's descendants, God would preserve a line for the Savior. That is our ray of sunlight. That is our beam of sunlight poking through the cloud cover, the Savior that came from Noah's family, Jesus. Jesus is the one in whom we find favor with God. Jesus is the one in whom we are blameless in a corrupt generation. Jesus is the one that we focus on and look to and watch in this severe weather watch. Jesus is the one who at the cross was hit with a tidal wave of God's judgment over the world's wickedness, ours included. At the cross, God's condemnation filled up and grew higher and higher, rose above Jesus' head so that he was deluged and flooded by God's wrath on sin. There at the cross, God poured out oceans of punishment on Jesus in our place. And everything that Jesus won there for us at the cross, he gives to you and me in baptism. All of our corruption purified, our evil eradicated, our wickedness washed away. Baptism saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in the coming severe weather, the world will be destroyed by fire, but in Christ, that beam of sunlight that breaks through the clouds of sin in this world and corruption, God will lift us up out of that destruction. So we'll have safety in that severe weather. Jesus, in this severe weather watch, he is our ray of sunlight, and we look to him. We also make preparations. This year again, people in our country have reminded us, have a kit, be prepared, be ready for severe weather or another emergency. These different kits might include gallons of water or cans of non-perishable food items. They might include a radio, flashlight, extra batteries, some extra food, some sani wipes, first aid supplies, or maps even. These kinds of emergency preparation kits can keep us prepared in most circumstances. But God gave Noah all the preparation instructions that he needed. It's a good thing Noah had 120 years to carry them out, isn't it? God asked Noah to build an ark, a big barge boat that was a football field and a half long, about a football field's width wide, and as tall as most four-story buildings high. That ark could hold what we would think of as about 450 semi-trailers full of cargo. even though God would bring all of the animals that Noah needed for the ark to Noah. Noah and his family were responsible for building, or for bringing and gathering food. Food for themselves and for the animals on the ark. Now, this was a lot of instructions. More than Noah could have done by himself. Enough to keep him and his family busy for a full 120 years. Now, our emergency kits, they don't prepare us for everything. But Noah's emergency kit, those preparations did prepare him fully. See, Moses says, and Noah obeyed all the commands that God gave him. It's a good thing, too, because if Noah would have decided, well, I want to make the ark longer, I could have broken up and gone belly up. If Noah decided, well, I think I'm just going to coat part of the ark in pitch and leave the rest uncoated, sprung a big leak. In preparation for the flood, Noah obeyed all of the instructions God gave him. Noah was busy preparing with his hands, but also preparing with his voice. Hebrews chapter 11 and 2 Peter chapter 2 tell us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. During that time leading up to the flood, Noah was proclaiming to others the same righteousness that Noah embraced by faith. Noah preached condemnation on the wickedness of the world around him, so that even in those years leading up to the flood, God's Spirit was still contending. God's Spirit was still calling people to repentance. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants everyone to repent. No one listened, but Noah continued with his preparations. And in the days of this severe weather watch, we want to keep preparing too. Everything the Lord has commanded us. Now, in order to do that, we need to keep reading his word, regularly read it and regularly study it. We want to be preachers of righteousness just like Noah too, and declare the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We want to share that with the world and support the spread of that message as well. Just like Noah, we want to be blameless in a corrupt generation. As far as depends on us, live at peace with others around us. We want our homes to be places of faith formation, to let the word of Christ dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Every day leading up to that severe weather of the end of the world when Christ comes again, we want to build with that covenant, God's covenant of forgiveness for us in Christ, to keep building away at that. We have plenty of preparations. We will never be bored. We will always have plenty to do as we, just like Noah, in our severe weather watch, make preparations, doing everything God commands us. We want to strive for that. Around here, thankfully, we don't have too many tornado sirens to worry about. That doesn't happen too often. Other things we don't have to deal with here are hurricanes and earthquakes. After the flood, God told Noah, "Never again will I send a worldwide flood to destroy all people and all life on earth." But the present heavens and earth, they are prepared for fire, destruction by fire. This is our severe weather watch. We watch out the cloud covering wickedness and evil. We look to the ray of sunlight, Jesus, our Savior. And we focus on the preparations leading up to his second coming. Our severe weather watch, we watch in Christ. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Heavenly Father, keep us ever watchful for your coming by steering us to be wise with your word. Help us stand firm in our baptismal grace, which you've freely given today to Roxy and Melody. They belong to you, Lord. Bless them by this growing relationship so that Satan or this world or sin has no chance to take what is yours. Let us all be faithful as life draws to a close, like Margie Belt, who's now in hospice in the Milwaukee area. Stay with her, Lord. Be her strength until you powerfully draw her to your side. This is why you sent your Son, to save sinners like us and to preserve us in Christ for you. We wait patiently for that day in the Christian faith, and we now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another, and serve your Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Good morning, everyone. Amen. Welcome, guests and visitors. Love having you come, and we'd love to have you come worship the Lord with us again. Just a few announcements. Bible studies restart this week, Wednesday, Thursday. Mr. C, you have your Tuesday night men's Bible study. So please check those out. They're in the worship folder. Also, Living Nativity was supposed to be this coming weekend. That is canceled, but the video is set to go live midnight on Thursday night or Friday morning. And you can watch that video with your family and still start your season off, if you will, with the Living Nativity. That is live from Friday through Sunday evening, and then that gets taken down from the web in a manner of speaking. So you can check that out. Also, just wanted to, again, reintroduce you to Roxy and Melody, if you want to stand up. And Roxy and Melody, after I walk out with Pastor Bodie, that was quick. You can come in the back and just greet people. They're really excited to have you here, and you can stand by me in the back, and a lot of just wonderful, wonderful people here. So you can come on back with us. And don't want to overlook Melvin. Melvin's here too, Roxy's husband. We're working on Melvin still, so this is your first time in the Lord's house here, right? Great to have you. Thanks for coming, and big day for you and the family, so congratulations again. Any other announcements from you for today or for the week ahead? Mr. Van Alstyn, coming up.
Just want to let you know that the Pioneer wreaths are here, and I'll be out in the shed to help you hold them in your car. And usually what happens, I've usually got a couple extras, but this year we sold them all out. So if you were thinking to hopefully get an extra one, I'm sorry, everybody that signed up for one has one, but I don't have any spares. But I'll be out in the shed, and I can help you with the wreath that helps to support our Boy and Girl Pioneers here at St. Paul's. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jim. Any other announcements? And please greet one another. God's blessings. Have a great week.
Sorry, I do have something to highlight to you.
I missed.
The Harvest Home event that's going to be happening in a couple weeks, we are still looking for a lot more cars. Right now the parade is going to be relatively short with three. it's not so much an event when you have three cars show up. But I've always said there is no place like St. Paul's at Christmas time. Our people know how to celebrate the birth of Christ. So we are looking for a whole bunch more cars. I believe you have them. I think there are some outside, so feel free to join us. We are also looking for people to send, just emailing me pictures of you in front of your Christmas tree or a short video clip of your kids singing a carol or a family singing a Christmas carol, anything that we can be able to share with those people. Again, we only have a few of those too. So if you have any questions about that event, feel free to ask me, but really looking for as many people as possible.
Thank you, Luther. God's blessings again.